I want to talk this morning about coincidences. I mentioned Wednesday night, I had a very strange situation happen. Going back 2 weeks ago now, all of a sudden, the hot water in our house was basically boiling hot. It was much hotter than normal. We had to adjust the way we set up the water for turning on showers. You know, generally you turn on the hot to such and such a level, you turn on the cold, and that's where you've been doing it for years and years and years. And all of a sudden, it was much, much hotter. So I called a technician, I went down to try to figure out what was going on with it, and figured out what I think is the problem, though I'm not a natural gas furnace tech by any stretch of the imagination. And figured out what the problem was, so I called a local plumbing supply house and asked them who I should call. And they gave me a couple of names, and I called the first one. A couple hours later, I got a call back from this gentleman. I told him what the situation was, and he's in the middle of a COVID lockdown. Actually, his COVID lockdown ends today. So we have an appointment set up for next week. And then later that day, Deb wanted to know what I did to fix the furnace, or if I turned it off. I said, no, I didn't fix it. I didn't do it. The only thing I took the lid off the furnace, I read the schematics, and I shined a flashlight in it, and I put the lid back on. Literally, that's the only thing I've done. Yet, it's fixed. And all of a sudden, I was so blessed because I know enough of the Lord that when some coincidence comes up, that God is behind it. God is at work. So what is the coincidence? The question this morning is coincidence with a question mark. A state or fact occupying the same relative position or area in space is the first definition. Second is a sequence of events that are, though accidental, seem to have been planned or arranged. Seem to have been planned or arranged. Absolutely. A fact of being coincident or of occupying the same place in space or the same position in a scale or series, exact correspondence in position as in a coincidence of equal triangles. This is from the American Heritage Dictionary. A coincidence. Things just happen to fit into place. Well, I am a firm believer that God sees the end from the beginning. He directs my steps. He's at work in my circumstances. And that there is no such thing as a coincidence. That God is the one who directs our steps. We've talked before about how when you look at the backside of a tapestry, and not the backside of my wife's embroidery, by the way, but the backside of a tapestry, you'll generally see a bunch of knots and things and just can't figure out what in the world's going on. But you flip it over on the other side, and it's all beautiful, a beautiful picture. God is at work setting things in place. I don't know what's going to happen Thursday. I have no clue what God is doing in either my life or this young man's life. But I am absolutely convinced that the fact that the problem was solved, or at least temporarily fixed, the second I contacted this man and set up this meeting, lets me know that God is doing something. I do not believe in coincidences. I believe God is at work. I have seen God working in my life in so many different ways. We go looking through Scripture, and we find out that Jesus was born in due time. Jesus was born right when he was supposed to be. We talked last week. I'm old and the days run together. I think it was last week where we talked about how just in the birth of Jesus, there were 33 different prophecies that were fulfilled just in that one event. That God is at work. God sees the end from the beginning. Psalm 139, beginning with verse 13. The psalmist says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts toward me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. The psalmist says, you knew every one of my days. You knew everything that was going to happen in my life before any of it was. God has directed our steps. I've talked in here before about, we're going back 6 years ago now. Deb and I went away for our 15th anniversary. We went to Branson, Missouri. And on the way back from Branson, Missouri, we hadn't been in Vermont or seen a Vermont car in 12 days. And we were on our way back and coming across Ohio. And it's in November. We were kind of concerned about being up near the Great Lakes and wanted to know what the weather was. And we couldn't figure out, or we couldn't get any information. We looked online. We couldn't find anything online. We're listening to the radio. Nobody's talking about the weather that's up there. No one's talking about what's in front of us. We're praying, said, Lord, we need to know what's going on. How would you direct us? And then shortly before we got out of Ohio, we stopped off the highway just for a bathroom break. And as you get off the exit, there's a clover leaf on the highway, and there's three gas stations here getting off the highway. We pull up to the stop sign, and a vehicle comes past us, had just come from the other way, taking a left as they got off the exit, rode right past us with Vermont plates. First one we've seen in 12 days. We followed them into the gas station. As we pulled up next to them, I tooted the horn and pointed back to my license plate and went to park. And then I went over and talked with them. And they said, they were from Hinesburg and had just driven across. They said, avoid the area up near Erie and near Lake, all around Erie, Pennsylvania and Lake Erie. Avoid that area because there's a nasty storm up there. They had come from Hinesburg. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. It's at least a 10-hour drive from Hinesburg to where we were. We had been praying, Lord, send us some information. Let us know what's going on. And here a Vermont car, the first one we've seen in 12 days, tells us what we're facing. They are 10 hours away from home. They are on their way to Cincinnati to see their son that moved there 4 years ago. And all of a sudden, the verse came to my mind saying, before you call, I will answer. God knows the things we need of. He is at work in the circumstances. And I got to thinking, how far in advance had God answered that prayer? Was it the 10 hours it took them to drive there? Was it the 4 years their son was there? Or even before the son was born? How far in advance has God been answering our prayers? When we see things happening in our life, we can trust the fact that God, who holds us in the palm of His hands, is at work in our lives, knows what we are facing, and knows what's coming. All my days were written in your book before any of them were. It's not a coincidence. God is doing wonderful things. As I was reading on this, I was reading about a king, and I had it in my mind that it's King Asa, but looking this morning, I can't find the scriptures I was looking at, so it may not be King Asa. But we have a king of Judah who the armies of the east had come against him, and it was a great multitude. And you've heard the story. You're familiar with this. He went and he prayed and he said, Lord, it's nothing to you to help those who are many or those who have no strength. We are facing this great multitude. What do we do? And the word came through the prophet. He says, the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Send the worshipers out first. Guy that used to do praise and worship here for us years ago. Now, wait a minute. How come the worshipers have to go first? Because the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. And as they went out and they praised God, the Spirit of the Lord came and the enemy turned against one another and wiped them out. And the children of Judah did not even have to fight. A few years later, Same king, same people of Judah, only this time the Assyrians are coming against them. And rather than go to the Lord, they went and bribed them off. They paid tribute for the Syrians to go away. And right after that happened, the prophet Hanani came to the king and he said, weren't the army you faced earlier a much bigger number and God took care of them? And then this time you did not rely on the Lord, you relied upon men. Because of this, the armies of Syria have escaped your hand. In this you have done foolishly. Because the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for one person whose heart is steadfast on him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. In this you have done foolishly, and from here out you will have wars. And the king was mad. And the king put the prophet in jail. But the message there is, God is paying attention to what goes on in our lives. And he calls for us to seek his face. He calls for us to draw close to him, that he might show himself mighty on our behalf. God wants to work in our lives. Praise God. Praise God. We don't have to go through this life alone. We don't have to go through this life wondering. We can go through this life in the confidence that we have a Father who loves us, who's promised to never leave us nor forsake us, will be with us in all things, and wants to show himself mighty on our behalf. Praise God. Proverbs 16, beginning with verse 6, says, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. Praise God. And that by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Lord, as we seek you, you'll even work in the hearts of those who would come against us. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Again, we go back to coincidence. We might have our own plans, but God is directing our steps. Another place it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his mighty hand. If God's directing our steps and we fall, he's still going to pick us up. But keep in mind what the Scripture says. All things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. Sometimes even that stumbling is part of it. God is so great and so wondrous that his plan for our lives even takes into account the fact that I am weak, that I fall, that I stumble, that I mess up, that I need to seek his face in repentance. Because that brings me closer to him. It brings all of us closer to him. When we recognize we can't do this on our own. I cannot do this on my own. God is at work. He is directing us, Father. Deb, skip the next one. Go to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 4, beginning with verse 16. Paul is talking to Timothy. He's writing from prison. This is what part of what he has to say. Verse 16, at my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against him. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul said, everyone else left me. Sometimes everyone else will leave you. Sometimes everyone else will have something else to do, not be able, not be there for you. But God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. God will never abandon you. Having spent 72 days in a foreign jail, I can tell you that when there is no one else around, no one else you can talk to, there is still a God who loves you that's at work and is working in the circumstances, even when the circumstances don't make any sense. When the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, the king looked in and said, didn't we throw in three? Why do we see four in there walking around. And the fourth is like the Son of God. We see Daniel going into the lion's den. And we see a pagan king encouraging him. I get such a blessing out of that. The pagan king says, your God is able to keep you. He had to put him in. That was the law of the Medes and Persians. They'd made the decree. It could not be changed. It had to be fulfilled. And the law said, which the king was tricked into saying, was that if anyone prayed to anyone except the king for 30 days, there was no choice but to throw them into the lion's den. But he said, your God is able to preserve you. Of course, he lost his faith. Next morning, Daniel, are you there? Oh, yes. I am here, O king. My God shut the lion's mouth. But how about in our own lives? What has God brought you through? You don't have to, I'm not saying we have to go through a testimony time of each and every person, but think about what God has brought you through. God has brought each and every one of us through difficulties, each and every one of us through problems. I don't have to know your life to know that. Jesus said, in this world you will have persecution, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In this world you will have difficulties. Guess what? We live in a fallen world. It says in Genesis that it's fully set in the heart of men to do evil. That there is difficulties around. Yet God is still at work. God is still at work in our lives. Last passage of Scripture, Genesis 39, beginning with verse 20. Here's a young man we're familiar with. Verse 20, then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Stop right there for just a minute. Sometimes we really, really wish God would get us out of our circumstances and he doesn't. We really wish God would change things and he doesn't. He lets us go through it. But he goes through it with us. Joseph was in prison. He was falsely imprisoned. He was lied about. He had been sold into slavery by his brothers. Yet in it all, God was with him. God directed him. As a young man, actually, an old boy, set upon, beaten, thrown into a pit by his brothers. They were talking about killing him. They had taken his coat and put goat's blood on it to take it back to their father and say looked like a wild animal got him. He was sold into slavery, taken down to Egypt. He was in Potiphar's house, and God blessed him in Potiphar's house, and God was with him so that Potiphar put him over everything in the house. And then the temptation came. And he resisted the temptation, but even in resisting the temptation, got in trouble. Got lied about and got thrown into prison. Doing the right thing doesn't mean doesn't mean bad things won't happen to you. But God was with him. God had favor with him. But even then, he was thrown, his master Potiphar took him and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were kept. So he went from being in the pit, being sold into slavery, being a slave in Potiphar's house, though an elevated slave, to lied about, thrown into the prison, even in the prison, was elevated so that he was over the things in the prison. God was still with him, no matter what his circumstances were. God is still at work in us, no matter what our circumstances are. He will never leave us nor forsake us. When things come up and we can recognize God is at work, as we walk through this life, as we walk through our Christian life, seeking the face of God, keeping an eye open for His hand at work, being directed by Him, sometimes we get little glimpses of what God is doing. To the world, it's a coincidence. To me, maybe to you, as our eyes are open, it becomes an evidence that God is doing something. I may not know what's coming next, but I know God is in control, and I know that God is at work. Verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison, whatever they did there, and it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. As God is working in our life, He is going to bring things into fruition. He is the one who directs our steps. He is the one who guides us. God does things that He may get the glory. And the glory belongs to Him. As we go through this life, as we face difficult tasks, as we face things that just don't seem to make sense, as we get sometimes in a bind or sometimes in facing obstacles, whether they be health or financial or whatever. Whatever the situation, relationship issues, all the things that come up in this life, because it is a fallen world, all of the things we face in this, we can face it knowing that God is still with us. And we get little glimpses from time to time, recognizing God's hand at work. I was so blessed when, right after I made the appointment to have this guy come out, the furnace started working right. Because I see it as God, I see a coincidence, knowing that there is no such thing as a coincidence, that God is the one pulling things together. And I am looking forward to seeing what He's doing. You ever get that sense of anticipation that something is about to happen, and even though you don't know what it might be, you know the one who orchestrates it. And you know He is doing great things. And you know He is worthy to be praised. I thank God that He is at work even in the little things in my life. Even when those things come up. You ever be having a conversation with somebody? You know, and then all of a sudden, the things that you're talking about, you hear it from somebody else. We'll leave church on Sunday or Wednesday night and be listening to Christian radio and driving down the road, and all of a sudden, whoever's preaching, now this is pre-recorded messages, generally. They're not live messages, but they're pre-recorded messages that just happen to be playing that time, and it'll be the same scriptures we've been talking about or the same concepts we've been talking about. God is at work in our circumstances, in these little things, let us know that He's paying attention to the things going on in our life. I don't know about you, that blesses me. That I don't have to worry about coincidence. I don't have to worry about happenstance. I know that God directs my steps. And I am grateful for that. Because when I direct my steps, I make a mess. But God is at work, and God is worthy to be praised. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We do thank You, Father, that You do teach us, that You do guide us, that You do direct us. Father, that You are at work in us. Lord, all of Your ways are holy and righteous. And we give praise and thank You for it. Thank You, Father, for all that You've done and continue to do. Lord, that You continue to direct our steps, and that You are at work in our circumstances round about us. Father, and that You do cause all things to work together for good. Even, Lord, those things that are difficult, even those things that are painful. Even those things, Father, that even don't seem to make any sense at the time. I thank You, Lord, that we have the promise in Your word that one day I will know even as I also am known. One day I will understand. One day I will recognize the things that You have done as your eyes have gone to and fro in the whole earth, looking for one person whose heart is set on You, that You might show Yourself strong on their behalf. As we trust You, as we rely upon You, as we put our faith and our confidence in You, Lord, that You are at work in the circumstances. You are at work in our hearts and lives, and You are worthy of praise. We give You glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.